The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
My name's Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too are mad for Mickey, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice, just thinking about or planning your first ever trip to Walt Disney World, and you don't know your lightning lanes from your lightning rods from your Lightning McQueens. Well, then this really is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories of their magical times. And on this week's episode, we'll find out what happened to Kerry.
I don't think I was embarrassed. I was just in shock that it had happened.
Also going to be answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks. And if you're ready to start your trip to Orlando, all the essential information you need to know. Make sure you keep in touch with us. We're on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at PodMagical. This is the most magical podcast on earth, part of the Secret Recordings Network. So we answer your planning questions every episode on the podcast. That's how we start. And as you could probably guess, over the last week, we have had a lot of questions about the new Lightning Lanes and the Genie app and the Genie Plus app. So many questions, a lot of which I can't answer because I've not actually been to Walt Disney World to use it. I think to utilize it, you really need to be on the parks on the day. But I have watched a lot of vlogs, and I think I can answer the big, most common question that people have been asking me over the last week or two, and that is it worth paying for the Genie Plus? And my answer is yes and no. So just to quickly recap, if you want to know more about it, probably the last episode we go into a little bit more details. There are three parts to the new Genie service. There's the free part, which I think is a bit useless, where it just basically plans your day for you and it tells you when to go on certain attractions when the wait time is the lowest. I think it's just going to send you to the obvious ones. It's going to send you to Muppets or Living with the Land, you know, the ones that don't really get much of a queue. And a short queue, according to the way they work their app, is anything less than an hour. I think I can work out a short queue for myself. So I don't think I'm going to be utilising that. I think that's just something they put in to appease people that were annoyed that Fastpass was going, the free Fastpass going, yeah, but we've got this, but is it that good? The other two parts of the service, these are the paid parts. So you've got the Genie Plus, which gives you access, kind of like Fastpass, to various rides at various parks throughout the day. That's going to cost you $15. Plus tax. However, there are two attractions at each park that you can't use it on, and they are going to be priced individually. Again, last podcast, we go into a little bit more detail on that. Those prices vary between $7 and $15 per attraction per person. Now, the actual Genie Plus app itself, the basic one where you can go from attraction to attraction, I think at Magic Kingdom, I think it's going to be worth paying for. It works similar to how they used to use MaxPass in Disneyland, who are getting this as well, by the way. And I've used that, and I thought it was actually quite good. You're not going to get the Disney Genie Plus every day of your holiday, but I think for a Magic Kingdom day, I think I would get it just for one day. I think I'd pay that $15 per person for one day, because I think you can get through most of the attractions on the park. From the vlogs that I've seen, this is how I would use my Magic Kingdom day. I would pay for the Genie Plus, the $15 that gets me on as many attractions as I can, once, by the way, I'd pay for that, and I would book in Peter Pan for about 10-ish, 10:30, mid-morning. I would rope drop the Magic Kingdom. If you're staying at a Disney resort, don't forget you're getting in half an hour before everybody else. So I would rope drop Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which is one of the attractions that you have to pay individually for. I'd do that, even if I have to wait an hour, 45 minutes. I would then head over to Space Mountain, which is the second and other attraction at Magic Kingdom that you've got to pay individually for. And I would do the normal queue for that. And then hopefully by 10, 11, I would have got a window to do Peter Pan. And don't forget, It's kind of, you remember when we used to have the third fast pass? As soon as you use your third fast pass, you can go on the app and you can book another one. And then when you've used that, you book another. It's the same kind of thing with the Genie Plus. As soon as you've scanned in and you're on your first attraction, you can book your next one straight away. So I would get in the queue for Peter Pan that I booked earlier on, and I'd start looking for the next available attraction. So say Big Thunder Mountain's available for 11. I'd book that in. I'd head to Big Thunder Mountain next. As soon as I scanned in for that, I'll get my next one that might be like Haunted Mansion at 11:15. I think you can get through the day at Magic Kingdom and do pretty much every attraction. And if you're only paying for that once, I think it's worth it. The other parks, I don't think so as much, because I don't think they've got as many attractions as Magic Kingdom. I would pay the individual price for Rise of the Resistance, because that gets queues of like up to 2 hours. So I think I'd probably book that one in. Remy's Ratatouille Adventure is still using the virtual queue. So if you're up early enough and quick enough, you can get in that without having to pay for that as well. The rest of the time, I just play it by ear. But yeah, definitely Magic Kingdom. I'd pay for the daily Genie Plus. Rise of Resistance at Hollywood Studios, the individual attraction, I think I'd probably pay for that. I think I'd get that around midday, and I'd rope drop Slinky Dog, then I'd go on to Mickey and Minnie, and then I would do either Tower of Terror or Rock and Roller Coaster. That's my Hollywood Studios list. But anyway, I'm hopefully going at the end of November. So when I get back, I'll fill you in more. But thank you so much, everybody who's been asking me a million questions about the Genie Plus and the Lightning Lanes. Yes, it is very, very confusing. But I think once you've got to use it and you've got your head around it, hopefully it'll become a little bit clearer. Any questions, don't forget you can always send them over. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Podmagical is where we are. Same place to go if you'd like to be a podcast guest. And this week it's Kerry who we're going to chat to. So go on. I'll ask you the obvious question. Why do you love Walt Disney World, Kerry?
The magic. I know that everybody probably says that, but it's just the magic of it all. I do feel like I get taken up by it completely and just feel like a little kid again when I get there.
Yeah. How much are you missing it right now?
Oh.
Being like over a year and a half before since anybody's been able to go from here.
Yeah, so much. I can't even watch vlogs at the minute.
Oh, it's got that bad, is
yeah.
it? Can't even fill the gap anymore. Go, it's not fair.
No.
Somebody else's joy is not my joy anymore.
That's it. I can't even be happy for people that are there right now either.
No. They hate them.
Yeah.
Hate them all. Tim Tracker, you go in there every other day with your little kid and your wife. No.
No.
So when was the first time you went then, Kerry?
So the first time I went actually was I was 25, so it was in 2014. And it was a family trip, and we went because my brother was disabled, and it was kind of like, right, we're getting him to Disney World. And that's when we went, the first time when I was 25, but I probably felt about 5 years old when I got there.
I think I was 25 the first time I went.
Really?
Yeah. But I think you might appreciate it a little bit more then, don't you?
Yeah, it was like queuing to like see like characters and stuff, and there's like these little kids waiting, and my mum was like, Kerry, there's like some, you know, this little five-year-old that wants to see Goofy, and I'm like, I've waited 25 years for this. They've only waited five, so I went.
Yeah, exactly. Push him out of the way.
Yeah.
So what do you remember about the first time you went?
I remember the first time I saw Cinderella's castle as a glimpse over the treetops when you're riding the bus from the resort. And I remember how that made me feel, which is just, again, just amazing. It was honestly one of the best experiences that we had, because we had no idea, to be honest, what to expect or what to do. And it was just all new, and it was like a dream come true. It really was.
And have you been back a few times since then?
Twice.
So you've got three trips. That's enough. Just waiting for the other one. Just waiting for the next one. So do you usually stay on site or do you stay off and driving? You mentioned you were on the resort bus.
Yeah, so every time I've stayed on site, but at three different resorts.
Oh, okay. And have you got a particular favourite resort?
Riverside at Port Orleans. Just so chilled out. There's nice little walks and things to go around. And it just seemed like it had a much more chilled out vibe than the other ones that I've stayed at. I think there's more pools at that actually as well, near the where you stay in the little, in your rooms and things. And it just seemed a much better resort for me. I just loved it.
A lot of the Brits, we tend to love French Quarter.
Yeah.
I think Riverside probably runs up in second place.
Yeah. I mean, we walked, obviously, you can walk around, can't you, see the French Quarter, and it looked lovely. But I just have this sort of love for the Riverside part of it.
Was that the first place you stayed then, the first time you went?
Yeah.
All right. So you've got a lot of fond memories there.
Yeah, definitely.
And do you like to mooch around the resorts when you go? Do you like visit the Polynesian and Grand Floridian? And
yeah, we didn't do it so much the first time that we went, but we definitely visited a few the last time that we went. And it's just amazing, like, how they theme them and everything. And I just, Disney in a world of their own when it comes to theming hotels and yeah. things, aren't they?
Is anywhere particularly you'd like to stay?
I would like to stay at Wilderness Lodge, and it just looks, but also Animal Kingdom, like, that's the dream as well.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, so sort of that sort of vibe, I think.
Let's talk about some of your favourite things then at Walt Disney World. Let's go straight in with food. Do you like the food at the theme parks?
I do. I love the food. I'm a big fan of Casey's. Big right. fan of Casey's.
You love a hot dog. She loves a hot dog.
I do. I have to admit, I do. And Yak and Yeti at Animal Kingdom as well. Their, like, sweet and sour is just amazing.
Not a lot of people, like, the first thing when you say food, Casey's has never been mentioned before.
Really?
It's quite iconic. Is it right at the bottom of Main Street, looking at the castle?
Yeah, I mean, like, you can't go wrong with, like, a hot dog loaded with amazing other things, like going to clog your arteries one day, but...
but you're on holiday, you're doing all that walking, so
exactly.
It's totally fine. And then Yak and Yeti was the other one.
Yeah, oh, the sweet and sour at Yak and Yeti, I massively recommend it. I can't go to Animal Kingdom without getting something from Yak and Yeti.
Yak and Yeti, so they have the table service restaurant. Do they have a quick service as well outside? Am I thinking of something else?
No, they do, yeah. There's the table service, which is, like, notoriously hard to get a table at. And then the quick service, so usually I just go to quick service, to be honest, because it is quick and it's just amazing.
What about food you don't like? Is there anything you've tried and go, never again, never eaten that again?
Do you know what? It's probably really unpopular, but, you know, funnel cakes. I'm not a fan.
That's been said, but yeah, it's been said quite recently, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit greasy.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan. I'm like, oh no.
No funnel cakes. Try it, but you won't like it. You won't like it. And what about your favourite attraction?
Okay, I've got a few.
Super fan here. It's got a list.
So obviously, like, Fantasmic is, I think, really sort of far up there at Hollywood Studios. But there's one that's not there anymore, and I want it to come back. And that's the nighttime electrical parade that they used to do down Main Street at Magic Kingdom. That used to be my favourite. I miss that.
Everybody was holding hopes for the 50th, they would bring back a nighttime parade. But
no, it's so sad because it was so amazing. Just all the lights go down and then that parade, I just loved it.
Yeah, a bit trippy. That music was a bit odd, but it was Disney, so it was fine.
Yeah, that's the thing. If it's Disney, it's fine. You don't need to worry about anything else.
Yeah, just hot summer nights watching that go past. And it seemed to go on forever as well.
It did.
It seemed like a really long parade.
It did, but that's what I loved about it, because it was like, once it's gone, then we've got to go back. Festival of the Lion King. Again, I think that's absolutely amazing. The Festival of Fantasy, and then in terms of, like, rides and things like that, I think Tower of Terror, Rock and Roller Coaster. I'm a bit of a thrill seeker, so they come up there. But also Kilimanjaro Safaris, I love it. Absolutely love it.
And if you had to pick one, though, out of all those.
Do you know what? Probably Kilimanjaro Safaris. It's so lovely, and the cast members are absolutely hilarious. on that, and I just love it. I love going around and seeing the animals anyway, and then the cast members obviously just totally make it.
It is a really special attraction, that, isn't
it?
Especially first thing in the morning when the giraffes just stand in front of you and you go, well, we're going nowhere now, we'll just stay here.
It's perfectly fine.
We'll chat some more in a minute, Kerry. Right now, let's find out what's been going on in the news. The biggest story is that in just over a week we'll be able to get back to America. 8th of November, we once again can get on a plane and fly over to Walt Disney World. It's all happening. There's no going back. If you're over 18, you have to have been double jabbed. So 2 weeks after your second vaccine, you're good to go. It's the World Health Organization approved vaccines, be it AstraZeneca or the Janssen Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, Pfizer, BioNTech. There's two Chinese vaccines that are included in this as well, all approved by the CDC. It's going to be the airlines who are going to police this. So when you check in for your flight, that's when they'll be asking you for your vaccination proof. So your NHS app will probably do it, or you can get a letter from your doctor. You can just go online to the government website and they'll send you one. It takes about a week to get it out, but that's like a printed confirmation that you can take with you, like an actual certificate. It's probably good doing that. Print that out. Print your Esther out. And also, you need to have a COVID test no more than 3 days before you travel. A cheap, rapid antigen, the lateral flow test, is acceptable. No need to take a PCR test. The free ones you get from the NHS ones you cannot use, but they are a little bit cheaper and you have to have it about 3 days before you travel. Once again, once you've got the all clear from that, print that out, take that with you. So there's your three things, your Esther, your vaccine status, and also your negative test has been approved. We're good to go. Under 18s, by the way, do not have to have had the vaccine, but will still have to have the test. I think it's all pretty straightforward and those rules aren't that tight. I think that's all right. Don't forget, if you are going back to Walt Disney World soon, I'd love to get you on the podcast as soon as you get back. So give me a shout, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. News from the parks. It's been confirmed that the Festival of the Arts is going to be back. That returns on January the 14th. Disney on Broadway, the concert series, is going to be back, where some classic legendary Broadway Disney performers are going to be performing songs from Disney shows that have been on the Great White Way. Also, there's the food booths and there's the painting. I love Festival of the Arts. January and February, that's going to be on at Epcot. Of course, we've got the Christmas Festival, the Festival of the Holidays before that, which is going to start at the end of November. Including that is the return of the Candlelight Processional. The dining packages for the Candlelight Processional went on sale this week and sold out within seconds. I know, because I was trying to get one. Just when I thought I knew how to get every fast pass or dining reservation, this baffled me. I was clicking and clicking and clicking, and then they just all sold out. So if you are happening to be going November, December, and you're going to see the Candlelight Processional, well, if you've not got the dining package, then you're probably going to have to wait about 2 or 3 hours just to get to the American Pavilion. That's how busy it gets. Don't forget, any other news we'll keep you updated with on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Pod Magical is where we are. And we're back for a chat with Kerry. So tell me, your favourite Walt Disney World memory.
So, my husband should probably want me to say that when he proposed to me, when I was there, so I should say that, but in, like, and obviously it was amazing and very standout.
So where was this?
Me.
Front of the castle, Magic Kingdom?
In front of the castle, Magic Kingdom, yeah. Just before the fireworks, like, he nailed it.
Were you happy that he did that? Was that in front of people?
Oh my God, there were so many people.
Were you a bit embarrassed?
I don't think I was embarrassed. I was just in shock that that it had happened. And then it was all, obviously, you know, the screams of congratulations and everything. And then I felt like I had to say thank you to everyone that was shouting congratulations. I was like, thank you. I was like,
well, you're all invited to the wedding.
Yeah.
We know you won't make it, but you're invited.
Yeah. But I think, obviously, that was an amazing memory. But my thing probably is the first time I went, the first time I came around the corner onto Main Street and saw the castle. And it sounds really, really cheesy, but I felt like I'd come home. Won't lie.
Yeah. Even though you'd never been before.
Yeah. It was like, I'm home.
It's been waiting 25 years, but it was worth it in the end.
It was.
So let's venture outside of Walt Disney World then. Mm-hmm. Do you go to other parks or other parts of Orlando? Have you found anything? Any other tourist attractions off the beaten track?
Yeah, so obviously there's Universal, and we have a friend who actually works at Universal. So,
What do they do?
She works, you know, in the cartoon land. I can't remember what it's called, but like near where Betty Boop is, and like in the one of the restaurants there.
And, Toon Lagoon.
Yes, Toon Lagoon. That's it. Yes, she works in that part, so we get to see her, which is a bonus when we get to go over. And she gets us in for free. So, so yeah, Universal, and I've still not seen an alligator in Florida, and it depresses me. And we had planned last year during our trip, but that got cut short because of COVID, to actually go to the Everglades and all of that, but unfortunately didn't get the chance. So next time I go, I am definitely doing more outside of Disney and Universal, because I do want to see more of Orlando.
So you got sent home last year then because of COVID?
Yeah, we were there probably 5 days, and then they closed.
Straight back on a plane and back home.
Back to COVID, yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, really.
So did you get a full refund on that? Did you get half a refund?
Or
were we just glad to be home?
I think I was glad to be home in the end, because it was quite stressful getting sorted and everything. But I think we were part of a package that we'd booked through Disney themselves. And so we got the refund for the hotel night stays that we weren't there, obviously, but that was it. Because obviously you're part of a package, so if you're free tickets, they didn't tell you which week's free. sound.
Yeah, it must have been really weird because obviously I remember being back here and reading that Disney World is closing, and Disneyland is closing, Disneyland Paris is closing. It was really weird over here. But being over there at the time when you found out it was closing, was it a bit scary or was it just stressful?
I think it was a bit of both, because when we left the UK and we flew, COVID was still kind of just a sort of like people were talking about it like it wasn't really going to be anything massive. And when we got to America, you certainly wouldn't have believed it was happening at all. Then all of a sudden we'd started seeing sort of online the panic buying that was happening over here. And we're like, maybe we should pack a couple of extra toilet rolls when we go going back.
But then come out of the hotel room.
Yeah. And then it was just a case of like, well, but no, Disney won't close. Disney yeah. don't close in their history. That it won't happen. It won't happen. And then when we came back from the park one day and there was a letter on the floor, and it had been obviously announced and it was all over the social media and everything that they were closing. It was a massive shock because I don't think we expected it to happen. And then it was like, oh, this is actually real and this is actually happening now. And then it was kind of like, we've got to get home.
So where do you go to when you find out, like, were you going to get kicked out of the hotel room?
So originally they were keeping the resorts open. They just said they were closing the parks. And then I think 2 days later they said that they were actually going to close the resorts and you had to leave by like the Friday. So we were like, well, we're going. Because, we need to leave then. And then it was a good job because then obviously Virgin were saying that they were going to ground all flights as well. So we were on the last flight back out of Orlando to the UK. And that was that's what they'd said on the air hostesses had said was this is the last flight you've got. So when we were on it, it was the repatriation flight, which again felt more scary than anything. They were calling it a repatriation flight.
And did you have to sort that flight out yourself, or because you did it with a package, did they look after you, or did you have to get on the phone and get in a queue and just try and get through and get on a plane? How did it work?
So we booked flights directly with Virgin, so not part of the package. So I had to get on the phone and sort it, as you can imagine, with so many people. So there was quite a wait to get through, but they were absolutely fantastic. They just switched it free of charge. And I think that at that point they knew that they had to get everybody home. So they were really, really good. Switched the flight, no problem at all.
And now you're back. Have you got another trip planned?
Not planned, because I think we have to see where things go, and there's other things sort of happening in our lives and things, and it's like, as soon as I can get back, I shall be back. I need to finish. I have unfinished business with Disney from last year.
When you go, excuse me, I only had the first half of my holiday, and I think you'll find out that 7 days free ticket, I've still not had yet.
Exactly. I'm like, I want this free. Especially because the prices will have skyrocketed by that point as well.
If I was to give you your ultimate day in Walt Disney World, Kerry, so you can stay where you want, eat where you want, do what you want, park hop, go on any rides, queue jump, whatever you want to do, what would be, from start to finish, your perfect Walt Disney World day?
I've put a lot of thought into this and you'll be able to tell. So I would probably be staying at Port Orleans Riverside because I just love it. Wake up in the morning, coffee, Disney cartoons on, because they're the good old fashioned Disney cartoons on the resort TV. So be watching those to getting ready, and then head over to Animal Kingdom for an early morning Kilimanjaro safari. Go over to Pandora, do Flights of Passage, Gorilla Falls, grab some food at Yak and Yeti. Then I'd probably head back to the resort to chill out for a bit, maybe have a swim, because I'm not a fan of like just packing the day completely.
You're a rester, are you?
I can't cope. My feet can't cope. And then later on, head over to Magic Kingdom, grab a Casey's, maybe get onto Seven Dwarfs or Space Mountain, settle down, obviously, then for the fireworks, which I then cry at without fail. And then because it's like my perfect day, it will have the extra magic hours, so after the fireworks then go over to Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin, Haunted Mansion, and then do Big Thunder in the Dark to finish off, and then back to the resort for more Disney cartoons.
Oh wow, you've been knackered by then. At that point. Well, that sounds like an ideal day, and hopefully in the near future you'll be able to go and get the other half of your holiday
crossed.
Back
fingers crossed.
Keeping them all crossed. Meanwhile, Kerry,
yeah,
Have a magical day.
Oh, thank you.
Fancy joining me for a chat on the podcast? Give me a shout. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, PodMagical. We're looking for guests for the new year, especially people who are going back to Walt Disney World very soon. If that's you, give me a shout before you go and we'll sort out a time for when you get back. The top tip for this podcast, I think it's probably directed at people who are going to be going to Walt Disney World very soon, and that is take too many photographs. If you've got the photo pass, if you've got the memory maker, then just blitz it, because you never know when that offer's going to go. Every ride, every attraction, every opportunity you get to take a photograph with every character, just take too many photographs. Don't forget to tag us in them as well, at PodMagical. We would love to see them. The one thing is, though, this is another part of this top tip. Don't be that guy. If you're going on a dark ride, there's always somebody who wants to take a photograph with the flash on. It's happened to me on Pirates and in Haunted Mansion. Flashes going off left, right and centre. Don't ruin it for people. It's always going to be somebody's first time. Don't be that person who messes it up for them. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a brand new episode and a brand new guest. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening, be it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts from. We've got so many to listen back to over the last couple of years. So fill your boots with those. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss the next episode. And we'll be back in 2 weeks. And until then, please stand clear of the doors.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.